guys, it's Justin.
And it's Nikki. Welcome to another episode of Polar Opposites.
If you guys are new, or if you've been listening and you haven't subscribed, make sure to hit the subscribe button, share the podcast with a friend, leave us a review, and all that good stuff. Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Justin. What's up?
Nothing much.
How's your week been?
This week has been good for me. I've been, you know, getting better at my photoshopping skills because I've been bored a lot. Since this is summer, not much is going on. When I get bored, I get inspired.
Interesting.
I get inspired. So I decided to use my new photoshopping skills to create a fake magazine cover. So I photoshopped my face onto a GQ cover, edited it, made it look good, made it look popping, and the end result was really convincing.
Yeah, so I was okay. Like, wait, I feel like this started because, so I kind of wanted to get into photography, so I rented this camera from our school. Like, this, it was a whole kit. It was a lot of expensive stuff, and they just gave it to me for free. So we started, like, we started doing little photo shoots, yeah. Right? The second one was a lot better, and this is where the photos came from.
Right. So using Nikki's high-quality GQ-esque photos, I was like, you know what? These pictures are so fire. I'm going to use these photos and create a fake magazine cover. So after I photoshopped myself, edited it, made it look good, I posted it to my Instagram, and to my surprise, people were like, Justin, you're on GQ's? Oh, congrats.
Congrats. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. Wow. Good. Wow. This is amazing.
Y'all, we're famous now. We're booked and busy.
Booked and busy. Okay.
Magazine covers, GQL. We're out here.
I was
popping.
Shook because I knew that the cover looked good and convincing. But
was it that good?
I didn't think that people would actually believe that it was me that was really on the cover of GQ magazine. I'm not a celebrity, so why would they put this random dude on?
Yeah, I was like, y'all really think we're out here in LA doing photo shoots?
We can have dreams. I wish that was the case, but no. Yeah. So if you guys are listening and you're like, oh, this is fake, I apologize for being dishonest or misleading you, I apologize for that.
But we just want to show off our skills. Like, we could work at a magazine.
We really could. Maybe I could be a graphic designer or something. You never know.
This week for me, it's been really chill. I've been, like, doing nothing because I started work today, Monday. And honestly, working is for the birds.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't... Oh, the idea of working is not it to me.
No, it wasn't that bad. I'm being dramatic. But, like, if it was my choice, I would have some type of job that didn't really require me, like, going in and doing stuff. I would be, like, an influencer or something where I can just work from my phone.
Mm-hmm. And especially in this day and age when technology is everything, that kind of job is popping.
Yeah, like, really, for me to be in an office 8 hours a day, I got off work and I was like, damn, my day's gone.
Nikki, I was like, it's 5 and you're just coming back. I was like, when did you start?
I was like, 9.
I was like, damn, that's a long time.
That's a normal job, though, like the 9 to 5, but this life...
The grind, it's not it.
No, I think I'll be fine.
But I started with talking about my GQ cover to preface it and say that I play too much. And if anybody knows me, I really do play too much. And it's almost to my own detriment because at one point in my life, it almost cost me my life. Yeah.
Really?
More on that later. We'll get to it. But just keep that in mind. And this reminds me, I wanted to say something. This is called Instagram lurking. Do you know what that is?
Yes. Have you heard the song Lurking by, I don't know her name, but there's a song, Why You Always Lurk?
Yes, that's You've the perfect that? Song that I yeah. wish I could play. So the term Instagram lurkers is a term that I coined. I don't know if it's an official term.
You did
term.
Not coin it. Please.
But my definition of an Instagram lurker is somebody that follows you. They never like any of your stuff, but they stay watching your stories. And I feel like these people, they may be haters. You know what I mean?
Really?
I think so.
That's like, a strong opinion. Is why, this your hot take?
No. Why follow somebody if you're not going to engage with them, if you're not going to like their stuff, if you're not going to...
But do you like everyone like that you follow? Do you like all their posts?
I follow people that I like and people that are my friends.
But
so
I'm
if
saying,
they post,
do you,
I like
really?
It.
Really? So yeah. You like everything?
Yeah, if I see it, I like it. Like if
everything?
I, yeah, for the wow. most part. If they're my friend, if I like them,
pull
I'll like
your Instagram
the post.
Feed. Let me see if you're really liking everything.
No, that's too much.
Okay, yep, because you're lying.
No, I like your stuff. Like, if you're my friend and I consider you a friend, I wouldn't, like, follow somebody that's not my friend, if that makes sense.
No, I get that. But I feel like sometimes I look at a post and I don't like it, but I don't even think of anything of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'll see it's my friend's post. I'm like, I didn't like that? I can't believe that.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm not going to like this person's picture because I'm a lurker.
No, but some people have that mentality. Like, I'm not going to like your shit. I just want to watch your stuff. Them? That's my point. So my thing is that if y'all have Instagram lurkers in your life that follow you, that stay steady watching your stories, unfollow them. Because what's the point of following somebody that's not engaging with your post and is just, at that point, just watching you just to see your every move, I guess. That's my opinion. So unfollow them. That's my tip for you guys.
It's crazy. There really are people out there who are just haters from afar.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You see this on celebrities' Instagrams. Like, people will go on celebrities' Instagrams and post all types of hateful shit. And, like, why are you following this person if you don't like them? Exactly. Why are you following them just to say something mean? It doesn't make any sense to me.
So do the easy thing and rid yourself of the toxicity.
Block?
Block.
Remove. Unfollow. You know you can remove a follower.
Remove and mute.
Yep.
Block, unfollow, remove, and mute. There you go.
Hot take.
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 Here's our hot take of the week. So, hot take this week. Nikki, what is your hot take this week?
Ooh, Justin, you might be mad at this.
Oh, no.
But Handmaid's Tale has gone to garbage.
Oh, no.
It has just... Woo!
That is a hot take.
I can't do it anymore. I can't do it.
That's so funny, because I'm going to actually mention something about Handmaid's Tale later today.
What do you think about that? Do you agree?
I don't agree that it's garbage. I think that whenever a show is slow developing, people don't have the patience.
But it's been slow developing for over a season. Like, the entire second season was pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped halfway through, honestly, because I was bored.
Yeah.
And then Justin's like, you have to catch up. I was like, okay, I'm going to catch up. The ending, season two, was not good.
No spoilers.
At all. No spoilers. It was terrible. And then season three has just been like, ugh. Okay, well...
Yes, I watched the first three episodes of season three, and I will agree that
I'm
it's
not
slow.
Impressed.
And I wanted it to start out with a bang, and it didn't. So with that being said, like, it's not been the most exciting, but I think that it's building towards something that's going to be worth watching.
Hopefully it does, because with a lot of shows, actually, the first season isn't the best, and then it gets better. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the show is doing the exact opposite.
It started out great.
Mm-hmm. We were watching the first season of Handmaid's Tale, and I was like, this show is amazing. Second season, I got bored. I stopped watching halfway through. And just this past week, I finished season two and started season three.
Mm-hmm. And it's like more of the same for you.
Yeah. Like, I'm waiting for the characters to either be smarter, because the characters really aren't doing that much for me. It's not doing it for me.
Yeah, that is a hot take, because there's some people that might disagree and might say, hey, Nikki, just take your time. It'll build towards something that's worth
watching.
I've
taken my time. I've watched it.
Three episodes is a big commitment.
I mean, but like, also the last six episodes of season two, which is like half the season, were not great.
Right. Well, I would agree with that somewhat. I think that the show is going to build towards something, so I'm going to keep watching. But
if the
next few episodes aren't doing it for me, I don't know. I might get off the Handmaid's Tale bandwagon.
Because Justin has been like, Handmaid's Tale is the best show on TV ever.
I don't think it's the best show on TV
ever.
You've
said that before.
I think that, no, I've never said that.
Yes, you have.
Because Breaking Bad is my all-time favorite show, so I would never blaspheme Breaking Bad. But yeah, if y'all watch Handmaid's Tale, let us know if you agree or disagree with Nikki's hot take. But my hot take this week is about y'all's horoscopes. So...
What? Oh my God. I brought this up.
I do not believe that horoscopes are valid. I think that horoscopes are like fortune cookies. Sometimes they're true, and they're these general statements that may apply to you, and for the most part, may not apply to you. I'm a Capricorn. So when I was reading the description for what a Capricorn is, I was like, I'm not this.
I think you
I'm
only think that because yours doesn't line up with you at all. And that's
no.
funny, because like, you're the only person I met who... Like, I read about Capricorns just because I was intrigued, and Justin is nothing, like, it does not line up at all.
It doesn't.
But, like, I read stuff about Aquariuses, and I'm like, okay, like, 80% of this lines up with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my sister's a Gemini, and she's definitely a Gemini.
I think that horoscopes are problematic, and let me tell you why. When I'm on Tinder, I see that people in their bios write, if you're a Pisces, a Libra, or a Cancer,
Libra?
Whatever it's called, if you're this or that, you're my type and talk to me. But that's stupid, because if there are people that are predisposed to like you based on a matching zodiac sign, what about the people who are not predisposed to like you?
Yeah.
Like, if you're predisposed
to not like somebody,
I don't
like Leos,
one negative thing about them, you're going to think, oh, all Leos are this way, or all Sagittariuses are this way. And it's dumb. I don't think that's a healthy way to view the world. And I don't think people should really look at zodiac signs as something that is valid, because in my opinion, it's not.
I don't know if they're completely invalid, but like, I definitely take them with a grain of salt, because one of my sisters, she's like, you're a true Aquarius. And I really was never into zodiac signs. And I looked this up and I was like, this is a little too accurate for my liking. And I went to go visit her. And when I met one of her friends for brunch, she's like, oh, Nikki's an Aquarius. And her friend's like, oh my God. Like, what? It's like, what does that mean? You've never met me. What are you talking about?
See, she's predisposed to like you. That's dumb. Meet people, like, naturally, authentically. Get to know them. I don't think zodiac signs should be a, you know, measuring stick of, okay, I'm going to get along with this person. You don't know because everybody's different. So, y'all will probably disagree with that because I know a lot of girls believe in...
A lot of girls? Yes. Stereotype.
No, it's... a lot of girls do believe in zodiac signs. I never see guys saying, I'm a Cancer and I do this, or I'm a whatever. I don't know what the other signs are, but I don't see it with guys. So let me know if y'all disagree or agree.
Man, these takes are hot.
Yes, they are. In the news... If y'all haven't been paying attention, the Golden State Warriors are playing in the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors. And our favorite queen...
Are you tired of the Warriors, though, being in the finals?
I don't care. I'm not a follower of basketball. I only watch when the playoffs come around. Neither am I, but
like, the past 5 years, the Warriors, the Warriors, the
It's
Warriors.
All you hear. I care about NFL more than I care about the NBA, but... Queen Bee was in the audience a couple days ago.
Oh, and someone was talking to her man.
Yeah, someone, apparently Becky, they called her on the internet, was talking to Jay-Z. And let me tell y'all, the Beehive went crazy.
They are the craziest fan base in the world. Like,
they aggressive. Have problems. And this brings me to discuss stan culture. I guess I'll explain the situation that happened. The owner of the Warriors was sitting next to Beyonce. His wife was sitting next to Beyonce, and there was a clip that was playing during the game of her leaning over Beyonce's lap to get Jay-Z's attention and ask him a question. So based on this interaction, the Beehive interpreted this and thought that the girl was like trying to hit on Jay-Z.
Why would she do that when her husband is right there?
It doesn't make any sense, and this is what I'm telling you, these Beehive people are irrational. And it makes me so angry because after the game, people found her Instagram page.
And started commenting shit. Okay, that's the same thing that happened whenever Rachel with the good hair came out or whatever.
Becky with the good hair.
They thought it was Rachel Ray or something.
Rachel Roy.
Yeah, but no, people thought it was Rachel Ray and went on Rachel and Ray's page. And attacked her. And it wasn't even the person like people really thought it was.
No, it wasn't. But the thing is, with the wife of the Warriors owner, they found her Instagram page and they flooded her mentions and everything with bee emojis and was buzz, 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 all these bee emojis everywhere. And they're saying like, Becky, who do you think you are talking to Jay-Z? We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. Yes, they were giving her death threats to the point where she posted an Instagram message. It's not over Jay-Z. It's over the fact that somebody is trying to jump over Beyonce.
I'm going to say like 99% she was not trying to get with Jay-Z.
No. And in her Instagram message, she said that she was asking Jay-Z what he wanted to drink, which
Imagine,
is completely
like, how
harmless.
Much money her husband has, though.
She's not,
like,
she doesn't
she's
want
not
you.
Trying to get Jay-Z. I can promise y'all
and,
that.
And it's so wild that the Beehive attacked this woman to the point where
They're
they gave
so
her death
quick
threats.
To, like, defend Beyonce, I guess.
And
but
the thing is,
she doesn't need it.
The thing is, why are you jumping to defend somebody that doesn't even know of your existence? Beyonce is not paying your rent. Beyonce is not paying your tuition.
She doesn't know you exist.
She's not paying your student loans. She's not doing anything for you, but yet... This woman that you don't know, that you love, you're wanting to defend her more than you'll defend somebody else. It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, stan culture is so delusional to me. And I don't
know. That's what, Beehive is one of the main reasons I feel like Beyonce is overrated. Like, her fans are crazy, and I don't know how you can really.
Well, that's a hot take.
No,
but
like,
she's overrated.
She is. Like, why would you stan someone so much that you're going to go on some random person's page and start
attacking them?
Death threats.
That's, and
over
I don't
a
know.
Conversation at a basketball game?
They
like,
had
they
nothing to do
they
with.
They didn't hug. They weren't touching.
It's wild.
Exactly. So what is the hype about Beyonce that y'all are willing to do this?
It's not even the hype. It's just, it's about the culture itself. Because Beyonce is not the only one that. People like go hard for the Nicki Minaj stans, the Taylor Swift fans. It's too much. Stop caping for people that don't even know of your existence and they don't care. And in fact, you're making them rich. It's actually delusional to me. Like, y'all can't see me, but I'm actually like almost foaming at the mouth how mad I am that stuff like this happens. There's so much more important things to worry about than who is
talking to
Beyonce or whatever. People, get a life, please.
Get a life. Get off the internet. Go outside, please.
Yeah, that's something that I saw that bothered me this week.
Another thing that bothered me, Cardi B is starting to look like she's wearing a diaper. Sis, you don't need to get more, you don't need more in there. You really don't. Like, she posted this picture basically of her ass on Instagram, and it's really looking toward Black China, Kim Kardashian kind of thing, where the legs, the stomach, it's not matching.
The thighs don't match.
The thighs with the don't match the ass. Like, it is not at all. And it, ugh.
My term for that is going to be diaper booty. These diaper people booty. That, I don't know if it's injections or implants, but it's not looking good. And this whole social media age has pressured these women, especially celebrities, to look a certain way.
No, I saw this tweet about Megan Thee Stallion and, like, why she's so hyped up. And people are, some girl is like, we finally got the girl whose thighs match the ass. Like, we finally got it, because a lot of these girls, women out here on Instagram, they're doing crazy things for their body and it does not look right.
No, it doesn't. And I saw that picture and
it makes me shudder.
We're going to actually post it on our story so y'all can see what we're talking about. But yeah, that was not looking good.
It's like, Cardi, I love you, but please, you got to stop.
Yes. Ooh, another thing that I watched this week, y'all have probably heard it at this point, but there's a Netflix, I guess, four-part series called When They See Us. It's directed by Ava DuVernay, and man, this is one of the most touching, heartfelt things that I've ever seen. So what it was about the Central Park Five, and the Central Park Five is a group of five men who were wrongfully accused of raping a woman in the 90s, I believe, and they served 13 years in prison, and then years later, it was found out that somebody else had actually raped that woman based on DNA evidence, and the men were acquitted, and they were all five granted $44 million from the city of New York. And this documentary really painted a picture of what exactly happened, and it's opening new wounds. So there's a woman called Linda Fairstein, who was the prosecutor in that case, and she knowingly prosecuted these five men, knowing that they did not commit the crime.
That's the thing, like, the whole the terrible thing about it is that they just picked black people who are in the, like, who happened to be in the area, and was like, you're a suspect based on no evidence at all. And honestly, I don't know if this is bad, but I really, part of me does not want to watch it, because I feel like in our society, there's been so many traumatic things going on that are very, they're publicized, they're on the news, you see so many videos of it, and I feel like as a society we're becoming desensitized to these things, and I feel like it's just so sad, it's going to make me angry, and I don't know, it hurts me watching stuff like that.
It at your own pace, but I will say it's really hard to watch this and not feel angry, because the woman actually, she went on afterwards to publish books and be on bestsellers lists, and she made millions writing crime novels. And now that people have watched this documentary, people are angry that
they supported her.
People supported her, and the fact that she's not in prison for what she did. She knowingly put these guys in prison.
I do not trust the justice system.
Yeah, no wonder people feel some type of way about the justice system when stuff like this happens, you know?
Because it's like, okay, the system that's supposed to be there for you, fair trial, whatever, fair jury, like, that really does not apply to everyone, and it sucks. So, like, we have this inherent, like, I'm saying a lot of people of color have this inherent, like, distrust of police, of the justice system, because we don't feel like we're going to be treated fairly. And it's not like, oh, we have this random idea. It's based on facts, based on history of, like, trials. It's terrible. And I just watched a preview for that, and my heart hurts.
Yeah, the trailer alone is going to get you feeling some type of way. But if y'all want to watch it, it's very moving. And the controversy is that the woman, the prosecutor, she canceled all of her social media. She disappeared because people were attacking her and calling for her job. She left a company that she was working with. And I'm mad, because why is this stuff happening now? This woman was able to make millions, but now that this thing is released now, like, justice is kind of coming to her. I just
wish
that
a lot of companies, like, whoever's employing her, they probably don't care until it's a big enough controversy. You see that a lot. Like, even with like sexual assault allegations within a company, it'd be like, this one thing happened, we're going to let it slide. But then when it becomes national news, it's like, we're going to cancel this person, we're going to fire them, we don't support them anymore. And this has been happening in the past few years.
And maybe it's because of social media. In the 90s, there wasn't social media. That didn't exist
at all. So it's a totally different world that we're living in now, and how justice works and how easily people can be informed about these issues and the wrongdoings in the legal system.
Yeah, but definitely, y'all should definitely check it out. Watch it. It's very moving. It'll have you feeling some type of way, but I think it's important for people to know so they can understand what happened and why the justice system needs work. So I told you guys...
I thought it was disturbing.
Another story that I saw was about The Handmaid's Tale. Kylie Jenner, she threw a birthday party for her friend, and the controversy is that the party theme was The Handmaid's Tale.
And if y'all haven't watched The Handmaid's Tale, it's based on this really messed up dystopian society in the future where women basically have no rights. They're not allowed to read. They basically serve men. They have no rights.
They're forcibly raped.
Yeah, they're forcibly raped. You're either a handmaid who's raped, like, to basically bear children to keep the world, the population. Mm-hmm. You're a commander's wife. You don't have sex with your husband. You're not allowed to.
But the point being that this show is very dark.
It's very dark. And this was the theme of her birthday party. Like, she had the people serving, I guess, like the Marthas.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is weird. This is actually too weird. And they're wearing, like, the red for the being handmaids.
Yeah.
But that was...
It was very disturbing. And people online were feeling some type of way. And some of the things that people were saying was... Not that I had any before, but Kylie Jenner just lost all of my respect in business. The Handmaid's Tale is not a joke or laughing matter. It's about rape and the oppression of women, and it's happening right now in America. I've never witnessed this level of ignorance in my life. Somebody said, I'm not one to call out celebrities because I truly believe that cyberbullying in any form is so harmful no matter who it is, but Kylie Jenner having a Handmaid's Tale theme party just romanticizes a dark future we could be legitimately facing.
I mean, I think that's a little extreme because I don't think she meant it like that. I think it was like her friend loves the show. I'm going to throw her a party that's themed as her favorite show. But I do understand the implications because it is a very dark show.
Are people throwing this out of proportion?
I think it only seems out of proportion because of like the influence that Kylie has.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this was you and you threw a party for me and it was Handmaid's Tale.
It's bizarre to me.
It is weird because I don't think I could ever be in that party serving as a Martha. No, I'd be like, I cannot do this.
It's weird. Because think about it. Let's say that somebody wanted to have, there's a show about slavery and that's their favorite show. Imagine having a slavery themed party.
It's like slavery.
Think about that. That's weird.
The women in that show are slaves.
That's so strange.
They're not allowed to read. They have to walk in partners. There's military all around them. They get beaten. If you read, your finger gets cut off.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy things. Women are literally slaves to the men in that society.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I know that I wouldn't do it. I think that it's weird and bizarre. Am I going to say that she shouldn't have done it? Not necessarily. But just think about it. If it was a different situation, just think of how weird and strange that is. But people were feeling some type of way about it. All right, so for our main topic today, we are discussing stereotypes. And before you get thinking, stereotypes, I know, has a negative connotation because negative things are applied to stereotypes because it's this misconception that might be false.
But they do come from somewhere.
They do.
The whole thing. Stereotypes actually allow us to like make categories in our head and to like navigate the world.
Society
has made it like very negative in how we categorize people and lump them in discrimination, prejudices, and so on.
Yeah, Nikki just said it, like some stereotypes, there's some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it's true in the sense that I believe that black people for the most part can't swim.
But didn't you do a poll on this and wasn't your theory debunked?
It was kind of debunked, but it's just a sample of how many people follow me. I don't think that's representative of like
the United States. So you really think black people can't swim?
I really think it's true that most black people cannot swim. And it's due to many reasons. But I preface this episode by saying I play too much. And I think the time has come for me to tell my story about how I almost drowned. And it's traumatizing. So 2-3 years ago, I went to North Carolina with a group of students, and my advisor at the time asked everybody, does everybody know how to swim? And I nodded my head because I thought I knew how to swim. Growing up, my neighbors across the street growing up, they have a pool. Their pool is 4 feet. So anytime I was swimming in that pool, my feet were touching the ground. So me with my feet touching the ground, moving through the water, I was like, yeah, I swim all the time. That's swimming. Wrong mistake. Fast forward to 3 years ago, we went to this rock water slide, this 60 foot, it was pretty big. I don't know how many feet it was.
It's probably 30. It was probably 60 is a lot to jump.
It was probably 30. So it was this 30 foot rock water slide that led into 12 feet of water. So I, for some reason, I was not nervous at all. I was waiting in line. And then
you weren't nervous to go into 12 feet of water?
No, because I wasn't thinking about it. Because I was watching other people do it because we were waiting in line while people were going,
because they could swim.
Yes, they could. So once it was my turn, I slid down. I was like, woo, bloop, into the water. And then I came back up. I put my feet down.
And down like, where?
into water. I was like, oh, my goodness. What's happening? And then I started panicking. And you guys, I play around too much. That day, there was a balcony overlooking where we were swimming. And I was like, help! Somebody help! And my friends were on this balcony and they were looking down below at me. They thought I was playing because I play a lot. They thought I was playing. Oh, Justin, stop playing. Oh, he's pretending to drown. Oh, Justin, stop. But really, I was drowning. And in my head, I was like, oh, my goodness.
This is where I die.
This is how I'm going to die. And I was like thinking to myself, oh man, I should have told my parents. Because we flew to North Carolina, but before I remember my parents asking me, why are you taking your swim trunks? Are you going to swim? And I was like, no.
Why did you take them then?
But I took them anyway because I knew that we were going to swim. And I was like, oh no, the last thing my parents are going to remember is them asking me, did I swim or was I going to swim? And then I died and lied.
Wow.
But yeah, it was terrible because my friends didn't believe me. The lifeguard was probably laughing until they realized, hey, Justin
is
drowning.
You play way too much. Yeah. Honestly, if that was me, I'd have been like, ha ha ha. Because you said you could swim.
I thought I could swim and I'm just stupid. But eventually, the lifeguard came in, they pulled me out of the water, everything was good, but it could have been so much worse. And I remember we were the only
one. Imagine if you went by yourself and were like, or if you went with like a couple of
or
friends.
Or at night?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have been dead. Y'all would not be hearing this right now. Like, I would be dead. But yeah, I remember even a little white boy was pointing, Daddy, look, what's happening? Because this little boy was confused. Why is this grown man drowning? Because this boy was maybe 3, 4, or 5 years old going into 12 feet of water.
Yeah, people teach their kids really young how to swim. I think it's really a valuable lesson, though. It is. Because, like, you never know what can happen if you're in water. Especially with young kids. Like, if you have a pool, you go inside for 2 seconds. You want your kid to be able to swim because you don't want them to die.
Anything can happen. But I will say, though, that the idea of swimming needs to be debunked.
Debunked?
Yes.
What?
I don't believe that humans are meant to
be in
water.
They are meant to swim. They're meant to be in water.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Like animals,
fishes.
There's
water everywhere.
I believe that, but fishes, they're meant to be in water. But we as humans, we're forcing ourselves to dive in and be in water. This is not our natural habitat.
What are you talking about? This is not... A lot of animals can swim. So horses...
No, we're not. We're just not supposed to be in water.
Are horses supposed to be
in
water?
No.
But they can swim.
Another hot take-ish is that I just don't think humans are meant to be in water. Like, we shouldn't be forcing ourselves to be in an environment that we're not supposed to be in. That's crazy. Think about it. That's like forcing yourself to be in outer space.
No, it's not.
Everybody should learn how to be in outer space.
Do you know what it takes to get to outer space?
It's a hypothetical, but I'm just like throwing that out there.
You're wild. Because I feel like a lot of humans can swim. Our land is surrounded by water. There's lakes everywhere, even in Nigeria. It's on the coast.
No. But let me know what you guys think. Do black people swim, or even other minorities? Is it, like, fact that a lot of us can't swim? And let's unpack that. Like, why is that? So what segments of stereotypes shall we dive into now?
I think there's like, height stereotypes. There's race stereotypes. Mm-hmm. There's gender stereotypes.
Yeah. Because I've seen many examples of tall people, specifically my friends. Somebody sees them and it's like, oh, are you a student athlete or do you play basketball? And they're like, no, I don't play basketball.
I think it's probably one of the number one questions, like, tall people get asked, other than how tall are you, is if they play, like, basketball.
I think that's true, too. Like, it's just a correlation. The taller you are, the more likely you are.
How our society, how we're socialized, you think, oh, you're tall, you're probably really good at basketball because you have that height advantage. I know when I was younger, so I grew really quickly. So I've been about my height since I was like 12, 13 years old. So when I was younger, people always be like, do you play basketball? Why don't you play basketball? I was like, I don't want to play basketball. And then one season, like my mom, like our rec center, she put me in basketball and I hated it. I hated going to basketball. I don't know if it's because I actually hated the sport. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty good at it for my age, but I don't know if it was like everyone telling me that I should play basketball, that I hated it. So stop asking people if they play basketball.
Yeah, not everybody that's tall like plays a sport, or anybody that looks athletic, I guess.
But you know what? There is truth to some stereotypes. You know, there's a reason the stereotype exists.
Right? I think that with positive stereotypes, where I see it the most is with Asian people.
Yes, so everybody, that's a big one.
Yeah, everybody sees that Asian. Well, not everybody sees. Like growing up, what we see on TV. Sometimes
it's like Asians are successful. They're good at school. Mm-hmm. And so on.
So all Asians are good at math or smart.
The positive thing about it is that there's nothing negative associated with being smart. Yeah. Like, you're smart, you're going to be successful, so that's a good thing. It becomes negative when you're boxed into this mold. Mm-hmm. I'm Asian, I have to be smart. And if I'm not as smart as other people, you feel left out, mm-hmm. or you feel like you're not living up to what you're quote-unquote supposed to
exactly.
be. Because I remember when I was growing up, I had this friend, she's Vietnamese. And I remember, like, in elementary school when grades did not matter, she's like, oh, I get, like, B's and C's. And I was really surprised. I didn't say, like, to her, like, oh, my gosh, what? But I think because I just got good grades when I was younger. So, like,
as
to
me,
and I was like, I was just surprised because she was Asian that she had bad grades. But, like, now I'm older and, like, have a better sense of the world. But being younger, I just thought all Asians are really smart.
Because a B is bad.
Yeah. Well, no, because she was like B's and C's. So, like, okay. If she was like A's and B's, I'd be like, okay. But, you know, B's and C's. Okay. So I was like, that's so strange.
Yeah.
But it's not that strange. Not everyone has to fit into a mold.
Yeah. You know? And I think that where stereotypes go wrong, I think it can lead to bullying. Especially mm-hmm. when with younger children. If you are a guy and you don't play sports or don't play with the other yep. guys, people see you as not tough and they exclude you from groups, or they even bully you.
Yeah, or like getting picked last in like sports like kickball and stuff like that. You mm-hmm. could tell like the scrawnier guys or the guys that weren't like as strong or didn't do all the sports and stuff like that, they got picked last mm-hmm. and they're picked on, which is really sad.
It is.
Why do we have to fit into these molds?
Mm-hmm. And even for women, like the women stereotypes, like if you don't look a certain way.
I don't know. If you don't dress girly, if you don't do your hair a certain way, if you don't just fit whatever the molds are, people make fun of you and that sucks. Like I remember being younger and like being really tomboyish. I'm not really like that anymore, mm-hmm. but I used to be like a tomboy.
Or maybe were you really a tomboy, just not
No,
that
I was
early?
Really a tomboy. Okay. I really was. Like, you can ask anyone in my family or anyone I grew up around. Mm-hmm. I was really a tomboy, and my mom hated this. She's like, why? Still, maybe I'm still a tomboy. I don't know. I'm thinking about it, but my mom's always like, why don't you wear earrings? Why don't you wear dresses? Like, you need to look like a girl and be beautiful and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. I just like being the way that I am. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the type of girl who liked wearing pink. I didn't really play with Barbies a lot. So, like, I just didn't fit that stereotypical mold of, like, what a little girl is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the princess, girly stickers, and all of that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like these stereotypes, it comes from everywhere. But I think that when it comes to television and film, the reason why people rave and rant when it comes to representation is because when you're properly represented on screen, people are seeing...
It's like validation.
It's seeing validation. Seeing that, okay, not every black person has to play a drug dealer. And, you know, stuff
like
that. Or like
the dad that's not present.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to fit into these roles that society makes. Why can't a black person just be a father in a story mm-hmm. or be not like an athlete, just like do something that's normal? Why does it have to be like typecasting?
Yeah, it's a typecasting.
So like just have normal everyday roles that can be played by anyone.
Mm-hmm. Because the reason when people see things on TV, they start associating it
it's
with things that they see in real life. So let's say you always see black people on TV and they're represented as drug dealers and gangsters.
That's what you think black people
yeah,
are.
Yeah, if you're not around black people a lot, you're going to be like, oh my God, is this how they are? And that's the case for some people. Some
it
people
is.
Live in small towns. They don't see a lot of people of color. So
whatever
they see
on TV is what they think
yeah.
is real. So like they're surprised when they get around minorities and maybe they're scared
mm-hmm.
or yeah, I think a lot of it is fear. And this goes along with black people. There's this huge fear of Muslims in the United
yeah.
States. And it's crazy to me because, like, it's based on nothing.
Yeah.
It's really, basis is so flawed.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes from what happened with 9/11. I think pre-9/11, people really didn't understand
yeah.
the Middle East. And now that's, like, highlighted in our society. So initially, I felt like people associate anybody that wears a hijab or a turban, oh, that person is a terrorist, or, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, and it's terrible. There are so many different types of Muslims. I'm pretty sure there's almost 1 billion Muslims on this planet. And there's so many different types of Muslims. There's a lot of Muslims in Africa, in Nigeria, like, like half of Nigeria is Muslim. Mm-hmm. So like to me, it's so wild that there's this like
discrepancy.
This idea that like if you wear a turban, if you wear a hijab, that you're Muslim, you're dangerous, you're a terrorist. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. There's so many different types of people, and they're good people. Yeah. Just because like a few people did a bad thing, that doesn't mean that they're representative for the whole group. Yeah. I think that applies to so many things, whether that's black people, like mm-hmm. just because you had one bad encounter or you saw something on TV, that doesn't apply to all black people.
No, it doesn't.
The same way with any group of people, you shouldn't make generalizations. I think that's where stereotypes become just detrimental to society.
And an area that it's really detrimental is when it comes to relations with black people and the police. If there's a police officer that has not really been around black people, truly don't understand them, whatever they experience in their life, maybe that stuff is negative, whatever they see on TV, they're going into situations with this
like
air
a guard up. Of like fear of, I have to be the bigger person, I have to assert my dominance. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're already like law enforcement, you already have dominance, you already have power over me, like institutional power over me.
But these stereotypes, it affects people because it affects the way people are treated. So mm-hmm. you're going to go into that situation treating someone a certain way without even knowing them. Every black person is not the same.
Yeah.
Your experience that you had with the black person is not the experience that you'll have with every person that you meet.
Yep.
And it's so important that law enforcement, I don't know if there's a way we can train them or a way for them to understand.
It's just like we're so deep in right now. It's like, it's so hard to think, do we overthrow this entire system mm-hmm. and restart like the entire legal system, because there's so many flaws in it. There's so many people, whether that's from local government all the way up to the Supreme Court, there are so many flaws. And it's really hard to navigate that and think of solutions, because you can have like individuals who work toward better solutions, but it's really an institutional thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to undo that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's wild, man. Have you seen If Beale Street Could Talk?
No.
Oh,
I haven't finished it.
You should watch it. It's basically about this man that is racially profiled. He's falsely accused. He's racially profiled by this officer for a crime. I think it's a rape crime, actually. And he was not even near the area of where this crime happened.
Sounds like Central Park 5.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wasn't even near the area. There's this one cop that had seen him the other day at like a convenience store. He got into a little argument with someone because this man was looking at his girlfriend mm-hmm. And like touched her, and it was like, hey man, don't touch my girlfriend. And this cop is like, hey, like, what's going on? And this white lady who comes is like, they come in the shop every day, you need to leave him alone, because he's trying to arrest him for nothing. Mm-hmm. This stuff happens all the time. So it's hard to break down these stereotypes, these institutions that are so like strongly enforced in our society.
It really is. I remember during the 2016 election, I was talking to people, getting a sense of like where everybody stands. I remember talking to this woman, and this woman was like, yeah, I don't think that Hillary Clinton can run for president or be president.
Okay, I have something very similar
because
to that.
I don't see a woman being in the White House.
Yes.
Because as a woman, you're not built to do that type of job, because that's what a man is supposed to
do.
Okay,
it's crazy. I hate hearing the stuff from women. Like, you're really self-deprecating at this point. Like, you don't think you're capable of things like that. It was the summer of the election, 2016. Mm-hmm. I took a government class back at my local community college. And this girl in my class said the same thing. She said, I would never vote for Hillary. I don't think a woman should be president of the United States. And I turned and I gasped. And I was like, what? Not even that you don't think Hillary should be the president, that you don't think a woman should be president.
That's
that
a lot to unpack. Think about
that.
It, because that means you see yourself as somebody
as
that's
lesser.
Not possible. It's unreachable, or that a job like that is only reserved for men, and that women should stay in their place.
Women can do everything a man can do. Maybe even better.
Everything?
Except the obvious, that are like, you know, biological.
Yeah.
But like, really, a woman can do like everything that a man could do, and possibly better. Mm-hmm. There's this one campaign, I don't remember who it's by, but it's the Like a Girl campaign. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's basically this video of different girls and guys. They're asked, what does it mean to throw like a girl, to kick like a girl, to run like a girl? And everyone has these stereotypical actions of, oh, a frilly cat fight is how you fight like a girl. Mm-hmm. You kick a ball really, like, you don't kick it far, very softly.
Yeah, weak.
Because, like, women are weak and we're fragile. That's false.
Yeah.
Like, we're strong.
Yeah, y'all don't have
we're
to, like...
We're strong, we're powerful, like... I can fight.
Yeah, you can. Women can do things too.
I can like do so many things. But it just, I'm not constrained by like what I can do because but it's I'm
sad.
A woman.
Because it goes sad. To show how some people think about themselves and the standing of women in society yeah. based on stereotypes
Even
and expectations.
Little kids, because this little boy is probably like 8 or 10 years old. The producers are like, "Oh, what does it mean to throw like a girl?" And then he does this action. And then he's asked, "Oh, so do you think that's how your little sister would do it?" He's like, "Well, no, my little sister is..." And then he thinks about it. He's like, he thinks his little sister mm-hmm. is like a person yeah. and is like capable of things.
But at
like,
the same time,
it's so ingrained
yeah.
in society.
And we have
what
to really unpack these things. Yeah, stereotypes are so problematic. I remember we had talked to somebody that like had this belief that when it comes to affirmative action, it's this idea that whenever there's a white person, there's a black person, affirmative action is going to go towards the black person.
Yeah.
That's not the case. I feel like there's this stereotype or belief that all these programs are built in to help black people when I don't think that's the case.
It helps
well, it's
everyone,
not the case.
Really.
Yeah.
It helps everyone. It helps like our nation and like institutions become more diverse because you're giving opportunities to people who didn't have these opportunities before or they don't have the same circumstances. Mm-hmm. Because you can have two people who have the same intellect, but one person was raised very poor, didn't have a good like school system versus one person who's rich, the parents have a lot of money, they have professional degrees,
mm-hmm. All the advantages.
And they have the same intellect, but the person who has money has so many more opportunities, whether it's financially, getting into schools, just like job connections. And the person who's poor really doesn't have that. They might not have the same network, the same like people who might encourage them to go to school, help them with essays, and like really become a good applicant for these things.
Mm-hmm.
So affirmative action like works to counteract these differences. It doesn't just give you whatever you want
right.
because you're a minority.
No, that's not how it works. And I feel like that's a belief that a lot of people, that is widely held among a lot of people, and it's not true. But there's something that you mentioned earlier today about sexuality stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. So there are these sexuality stereotypes. It's funny. Justin asked me the other day, and I'm going to stand by what I said.
Okay.
It might be a little bit controversial, but he asked me, like, can someone look straight? Because I think I said, can someone look gay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no.
No, did I say no?
Yeah.
Really? I think
yeah.
I said, yes, somebody
said,
can look
no.
gay.
He said, no, can someone look straight? And I was like, yeah.
Well,
and then I was like, Wentworth Miller. I gave you that example,
mm-hmm.
remember? I don't think you can automatically assume everyone's sexuality, but
just
I think there are, like, some people who have, like, it goes in with stereotypes of how you dress, how you act, your voice, whether you're more effeminate or whether you're more masculine,
mm-hmm.
And that a lot of people can assume
your sexuality.
So, like, a good example I said was Young M.A.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
which is a rapper, if y'all don't know.
Yeah, Young M.A. is a rapper. What is it? Petty Wop.
Yeah, she has a song. I don't know.
I don't know. She's
to
a
her.
Rapper. But, if I looked at her, I would probably think that she's gay. Whether that was right or not, that would just be an assumption that I have based on stereotypes I have in
mm-hmm.
my mind of what, like...
A lesbian looks like. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't dress very feminine. She also talks about her strap a lot.
Yeah.
That's something else. But, like, just the way that she dresses and presents herself, that's a, like, stereotype and assumption that I would make.
Yeah.
But there are people who don't present in the same way,
right.
So...
Like, for an example, Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, to me, presents as a masculine male. With that situation, there's a lot to unpack with that. But I really do feel that people would not like Frank Ocean.
Yeah, he wouldn't have the same support.
If he presented himself as a more effeminate, flamboyant gay man.
Yeah.
I really believe that to be true. People believe that Frank Ocean, oh, he's edgy and cool to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And straight people think that, oh, I'm cool or I'm not homophobic. I listen to Frank Ocean. But Frank Ocean is basically a straight male, basically. Like, he presents, everything about him presents as a straight male. So,
yeah.
Like, saying that Frank Ocean is cool or whatever because he's gay, it's not really...
Yeah, this happens to a lot of artists, I think. Even happened with, like, when Sam Smith came out. People were like, Sam Smith is gay?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it wasn't really a big deal, but I guess there's some people who present more.
Yeah.
You know? And when, I guess, some fans per se, find out, they might not be as supportive because
mm-hmm.
it's not something that they were expecting.
Yeah. But yeah, do you honestly think Frank Ocean would be successful as he is now if he wore wigs and nail polish and pink and whatever
is the stereotype for what a flamboyant gay man is? I don't think so, because I think a lot of people in the black community are homophobic.
Yeah, but I really don't even think that a lot of black people listen to Frank. I think mostly a lot of white people listen
to Frank
Ocean.
Maybe that's the tea. I don't know. Maybe that's the tea. But yeah, I think there are a lot of homophobic people in the black community. So I think if he were more effeminate, that he wouldn't have the same support. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. And you know what? This actually goes along with pink. I think a lot of people thought like pink was gay.
Yeah, especially in elementary school.
Because of the way she, like, she has just short haircut.
Oh,
she's
pink.
Like,
I thought you meant the color pink. No. I was like, yeah, when people, guys wear pink, they're like, yeah, he's gay.
No, that too, but I meant the artist.
Okay, never mind.
Like, you know, she has like the white short haircut.
Pixie cut, is that what it's called?
I guess. Okay. But yeah, a lot of people like think certain things about her. And now, especially with the way she raises her child, because she kind of lets her child do whatever. People are like, why would you raise your child like that and impose these beliefs on your child?
But yeah, I remember like people, like, because pink is not a traditional looking woman. Like, she doesn't like look per se girly. Mm-hmm. She has a short haircut. She's very tough.
She's like spunky.
She's strong.
Yeah.
She's everything that a man would be praised for. But because she's a woman, there's a role reversal there. So pink kind of stands out among everybody else. But I do remember people thought that she's a lesbian.
There's just like stereotypes
not
around her. I don't know. Not disses or I don't know. People just thought certain things about her. You can't assume someone's sexuality by just looking at them, you know?
You can't assume somebody's intellect. You can't assume
anything. Why honestly. You always assume it?
Yeah, you can't.
Mm-mm, you can't do it. People, there's more to people than meets the eye, as cliche as that might sound. There's so many more things to people. Another stereotype I had was about Africa and what people think about Africa.
Yeah.
So what do people usually think when they hear Africa?
Starving children, African babies with no clothes on, poor people, giraffes roaming around, what else? Rhinos everywhere, huts, people in rural areas, no development at all. Yeah, people with stuff on their head, like all kinds of stuff. I think that's what people envision when they think of Africa.
And I think the thing is, that is part of Africa, but that's not all of it. You know, there's more to it than whatever the stereotypes you guys have in your head are. The thing, Africa is the most diverse. And, I hate when people refer to Africa as a country.
Africa is not a country.
How many countries are there?
There's
like
50-something?
There's a lot of countries on that continent, and it's the most diverse continent.
So whenever you say, I went to Africa,
where in Africa did you go?
Did you
go to Morocco? Did you go to Kenya, Nigeria, Congo, South Africa? There's so many different people, places, food, ethnicities, languages.
Because people don't say, oh, I went to North America. Where in North America did you go? Where in South America did you go?
Yeah.
Like, there are countries in that place.
It bothers me so much that people just lump Africa into this one thing when it's so diverse. It has so much to offer. It's so beautiful. Like,
it's because
beautiful culture, too.
If people aren't connected to that culture, they're less inclined to do research to understand it. Because I think that people just make
assumptions. But it's like, people don't always just say, oh, I went to Asia.
Yeah, they don't.
They say, oh,
I went to China, Korea, wherever.
Like, why is there this thing about Africa that's just one conglomerate?
Because people don't understand it. Our culture is so removed from Africa because mostly our country is European or white, Caucasian, than all the different segments of demographics when it comes to race. So they're not connected to Africa. They're more connected to those European countries. So they understand Norway and all of that stuff.
People still say like Brazil or Colombia or whatever.
I don't know what it is about Africa.
Y'all just be more educated about Africa. Like, I love it. There has so much to offer, honestly. Like, it's going to take time to get to like where the U.S. is, obviously. But like, it has so much to offer. There are a lot of developed places. There's developed places in Ghana, Nigeria,
everywhere.
Morocco, Egypt. There's a lot of places that are developed and so beautiful. There's so much land. There's so much nature. Like, being in Nigeria is just like a beautiful jungle.
Yeah. So
not
Africa is not a continent, y'all.
It's not.
Understand
Stop
that.
Stop referring to it like that. It's so annoying.
Yeah. So learn. We all went to geography. Africa is not a country. But the last thing I wanted to bring up, actually, is how we can go about solving stereotypes. So I think that we discussed earlier, people that don't understand other people they're more inclined to believe things that they see on TV mm-hmm. and based on their life experiences. But I think that if you're willing to meet other people of different cultures, stay out of your little bubble yeah. of homogeneity, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, branch out and meet other people That's that are what? Different from you, that have walked different paths than you. That way, when it comes to associating people's race with what you've experienced, you're like, oh no, I have a friend who's black.
And but this don't is... just say I have a black friend.
Yeah. Like, or I have a friend that's from Norway, and this is how these people yeah. are.
Like, learn about people's experiences and who they are, what their viewpoints are on things about like their race and ethnicity and their culture, rather than making assumptions about it. That's I've said it before. It's really important to have like a diverse group of people yeah. around you, even if they're not your super close friends. You need to associate yourself with people and have these conversations because they're really important.
Yeah, so you can understand what other people are going through. I had an advisor in school, and during our trip, she started crying because people were talking about their stories and their experiences growing up and the hardships they've gone through. And she's like, wow, I've never understood that this is what people are going through.
Yeah.
And guess what? Whenever she has conversations with other people, she's going to be like, oh, no, don't say that. You know, I've actually had experiences with other people.
Yeah.
So,
because it is really easy to get consumed by what society feeds us as like stereotypes, and it's easy to just use that as what you use to like mm-hmm. navigate the world.
Yes.
And what you think about
you're right
people.
It's easy to fall into stereotypes yeah. but it's harder
it takes
to
work
do
to
the
know
opposite.
People yeah. to understand them and understand their perspectives. And what you said about like hearing people's stories, I remember when we were at our internship, there's that day where people like shared their stories. Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
I do remember.
And I remember crying on that day because you really have no idea what people go through. Mm-hmm. Like, I had known these people for a few weeks at that point, but what, like, it was such an open and caring space to share, like, your life story or something yeah. meaningful to you. Like, what people were saying, I would have never expected, and you really don't know what is going on in people's lives. Like, people were talking about, like, gang violence and losing a friend to that, mm-hmm. just, like, parents being
and this stuff
gone.
Is, like, unfamiliar to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and it's just hearing it, it's... when you haven't experienced something, it's so hard to understand it. That's
or put
why
yourself
you,
in their shoes.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to have conversations with people and get to know different types of people. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of your comfort zone.
Get out of your bubble. Like make friends with different people. Just yeah. learn from each other. And then that way you can grow as a person in our general understanding of the world.
Yeah, because whether it's at work, I doubt everyone at your work looks the same. Mm-hmm. Make friends with different people. Whether it's at school, not everyone in your class looks the same. You can make friends with these people or just talk to them. Like lunch, just have a conversation.
Anything. It doesn't have to be something serious. Yeah. Just a natural progression of a relationship.
And it's crazy because... so many things can come out. It's actually really easy sometimes to talk to strangers and mm-hmm. things just like come out
yeah.
and it's just natural, mm-hmm. I feel like. So it doesn't have to be this whole thing of, oh, I'm going to seek out this thing. Just be more open. Be more open to talking to people. Be more open yeah. to sharing your own story so that others can understand and be more accepting and understanding of other people's stories. Because if you haven't been in their shoes, if you haven't been in their place and experience what they have, then you won't know.
So now we are going to transition into listener letters, and we have a letter this week, and the name we chose is Chirinma. And Chirinma says, hey y'all, so I've recently resigned my job after graduation. Believe me, it was one of the hardest things I had to do. I did not want to be seen as a typical millennial who quit the minute things got hard, but the environment at my company was simply unbearable. After spending 1 year there, I couldn't stand to be there another day, as I was simply miserable. It's been 3 weeks since I left, and my life has consisted of nothing but applying for jobs and attending interviews. The process has been grueling and took a hit on my self-confidence. Everyone, my best friends and my boyfriend included, have encouraged me to take advantage of this downtime to do what I enjoy or whatever brings me peace. But honestly, I have no clue what that means. My entire life, I've had to hustle. I worked 3 jobs throughout college, practically raised myself, and I never had time to think about what I truly enjoyed now that I have so much free time on my hands. I have absolutely no idea what to do with it. All I want to do is apply for more jobs, constantly improve my resumes, and find part-time gigs. Is this normal? How do I figure out what brings me peace? Have y'all ever experienced this? Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Sincerely, Chirinma.
Sincerely, the overachieving hustler.
So that is a lot to unpack. Okay, I'll start here by saying that I think you should enjoy this time off, especially if you have any kind of money saved up. Enjoy it, man, because you don't know when in the future you're really going to have another time and opportunity, and especially so young, to enjoy life and go see the world. Maybe there's somewhere you've always wanted to go, go do that.
Yeah, because
even if it's local, just do something that you enjoy and find what you enjoy.
Because you said you've been working 3 jobs, and that's a lot, especially going to school and university.
Stress.
It's a lot of hard work on your body, and I think that our minds, for our mental health sake, we need to take time off to have fun, decompress. And then I think that it's natural for you to move on and dive in and start applying for jobs. So I think that her difficulty was not even knowing like what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, losing herself in that hustle and bustle of wanting to continue working.
No, I completely understand that, actually. I met a couple girls like 2 weeks ago, and they asked me, they're like, what do you like to do? And I actually paused for a moment because...
I mean, this is your hobby, right?
I mean, okay, yeah, but like... generally in life, what do I like to do? And it made me pause for a moment because I feel like in college, I stopped doing a lot of things that I like to do. Like, if you ask my family, I used to bake and cook all the time. Like, I loved doing that. Mm-hmm. I took culinary arts in high school. This is something I really loved, but it's really time consuming. So as college progressed, I really just stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. Because it just took up time. It kind of made me sad. I was like, wow, I've kind of lost a part of me that remembers what things I really like to do.
It's a common thing that people experience, especially after you graduate and it's time for you to have a job. One thing that I always believe in is that time is our most precious commodity. You said that your boyfriend's in your life and your family has been telling you or trying to help you figure out what you need to do. I think that spending time with them is really important because time is flying. College was over in a snap. Life is going to continue to move fast.
You have your entire life to work. So I don't think you should be too stressed about finding something immediately. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you have to think that you're fitting into this weird mold of like millennials quit anything.
Mm-hmm. Do what makes you happy. Hard. Don't. It's the scary thing is you continuing to be at that job.
Honestly, it's
constantly
better,
stressing you out.
It's better to leave now and like be happier in your life to be grudgingly going through this day to day and being miserable.
Because it might be worse for you than sticking to it and thinking, okay, I don't want to be part of the stereotype that millennials are lazy and the minute things get hard, they're done and they're over it.
Just because something didn't work out for you doesn't make you lazy, because not every work environment is for everyone. You have to find something that's a good fit for you because otherwise you're not going to succeed. You need to find like a flourishing environment, something that's going to help you foster your, whether it's your creativity, your workflow. You don't want to just be grudging through every single day. Relaxing is so important because during school you don't really have time to relax. You're even on the weekends you're thinking about what you could be studying for, an assignment that you could be completing, because school is just constant.
And the job market and the whole job search thing is not a joke. I have so many friends that are applying to jobs, and it can be stressful. I understand your pain with wanting to find something, but do take, maybe it's a sign. Maybe it's a sign that
you need time off.
Sit back, relax a little bit, then step up and do the job search thing.
Maybe
again,
when you're in a better like state, when you're relaxed, you're refreshed, your brain is like, it's ready to go, then
clarity.
Like it might show through, like whether it's writing cover letters or updating your resume, that might really show in like getting interviews and feeling better about yourself and about the space that you're in might like project
and
out.
And it's good that you're hardworking. So whatever you finally find that job, wherever you land, they're going to be happy to have you. But in the meantime, take the time to yourself, enjoy life, because time really goes by fast. And
so
just
fast.
Try to be happy, because I know you were unhappy before. I promise you'll figure it out. It'll be hard right now, but everything happens for a reason, in my opinion. And
it'll
work out. Thank you for writing us a letter. We really appreciate these letters, and y'all can always email us at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com. So anything that you're going through, anything you want us to advise you on, we'll help you out.
Yeah, just hear our opinion, or if you want to ask us questions about ourselves, we're also open to answering those type of things.
Yeah.
You can DM us at polaropositespod on Instagram. Just thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, I really love you guys. I really do. Like, doing this podcast makes me so happy because we're connecting with real people, and we see y'all. We see a map of where everybody's listening.
Yeah.
Everybody
your
in
feedback.
Florida, New York, California, everywhere. We see
Instagram,
you guys.
I've seen that we have like a good amount of followers in New York. And I was like, I don't know anyone. I know like one person in New York. But I was like, wow, we're really reaching people.
Philadelphia.
It's a great feeling.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, subscribe.
For your support. Subscribe. Like. Blah, blah, blah.
Leave us a
follow
review.
Follow on Spotify. Spotify, everything.
Share with a friend.
Yeah, tell your friends.
With that being said, we hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Enjoy everything. Be happy.
Break those stereotypes.
Break the stereotypes.